Rise for the prayer by our chaplain, the Reverend Galk, and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
From the 111th Psalm we hear, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Almighty God, we know that we live in a time where human knowledge expands at an ever faster rate. But we have also learned that knowledge is certainly different than wisdom. Wisdom comes from learning from our mistakes and mistakes of others. So give us humility to acknowledge to you our failures and repentance in them and learn to not do them again. And Lord, provide us guidance as we deal with complex issues and challenges that come before us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 7th. Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading and the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Order of business. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from the Missouri News Horizon, Edward Jones, and members of Senator Engler's staff have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Introduction of guests. Senator from Boone.
President, on my right and on your left is the Healthcare Business Women's Association. They're here at the Capitol today, and I'd ask the body make them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from Boone please stand and be recognized? And thanks for coming to the Capitol. Senator from Phelps.
President, introduction of very special guests.
Proceed.
On my left and your right in the upper gallery, we have juniors from Waynesville High School. These students are in a government class studying the Constitution. These are the brightest. They're the A-plus students. They're accompanied by teachers Gary Young, Tim Belshi. Would you please stand up and let's make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests from the Senator from Phelps. Thanks for coming to the Capitol. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and your right, gives me great pleasure to introduce from the Salvation Army, Major Linnell Richardson, the Division Commander of the Midland Division, and Major Charles Smith, the Division Commander of the Western Missouri-Kansas Division. They really, as leaders of their organization in Missouri, do a fantastic job of providing service to those most in need. And they do that through volunteerism and private charitable giving, and aid us greatly as we serve the interests of our state. And I ask my colleagues to please make them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 23rd please stand and be recognized? Thanks for coming. Senator from the 15th.
Mr. President, off to my right and your left, it is my distinct honor to welcome to the Missouri Senate Bob Becker. Bob has dedicated his life to the education of youth in my neck of the woods and was named the Missouri Teacher of the Year. And he's a teacher at Kirkwood High School, and I'd ask that the Senate make him feel welcome today.
Great. Would the guests of the Senator from the 15th please stand and be recognized? Thanks for coming. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my right in the upper gallery and up to your left are a group of homeschool students here today with us from Kirksville. It's a civics class from Kirksville, the homeschoolers, and I'd like the body to make them feel welcome.
With a guest from the Senator from Lewis, please stand and be recognized, and thanks for coming to the Capitol. Senator from the 10th, I didn't see you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce some very special guests. With us today in the Capitol, from all over the state, actually, we have several Centers for Independent Living. In my district in Kansas City, we have folks from the whole person. Here in the chamber, we have Elaine Forrest and Kelly Smith Scott. And in the upper gallery, we have Joan LaBelle and Michelle Krajewski. I would like you to make them welcome.
That's great. With the guests of the Senator from the 10th, please stand and be recognized. And thanks for coming to the Capitol today. Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm very honored today. I have a group of my colleagues here in the upper gallery. We have almost 100 Edward Jones people here. We'll be talking a little bit about Pat Jones. They're here to honor her today. Edward Jones is one of our state's largest companies, and I'm very proud. 25 years ago last month, I went to work for him. Very proud to be working for him. We've been recognized countless times as being one of the best companies to work for in the country. I don't know if you all know this, we have 600 offices in Missouri. 600 offices. We have 6,000 people that work in Missouri, the state of Missouri. I've never had these people come up in the 9 years that I've been here. We don't ask for special treatment on economic development. We use whatever tools are available to the company. And in that regard, in the last 2 years in this recession, we've done over $300 million in construction in St. Louis alone. It's particularly gratifying. Some of my old friends here that I came out 25 years ago in a couple of them's classes, they're here today from all over, from Cape and from Webster Groves and from West Plains and from this whole region. And representing them is my managing partner, Jim Weddle. Jim runs one of the largest investment firms outside of Manhattan, if not the largest. He is president of the United Way in St. Louis, very active on the board of Webster University. He started with Edward Jones 35 years ago and opened our firm's 200th office. We now have over 12,000 offices. Jim's done a great job in leading this firm in its growth and development and through very turbulent times in the market. Mr. President, if you and the body would make my colleagues from Edward Jones and Jim Weddle, the managing partner, welcome today.
Would all the guests of the Senator from St. Francis please be recognized? Thanks for coming to the Capitol. Senator from St. Francis, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now I'd like to speak on a point of personal privilege.
The Senator from St. Francis has requested a point of personal privilege. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pat Jones is here today. Mr. President, would you wave, Pat? Pat Jones and her husband. Her husband, Edward Jones, Ted to most of us. Pat's going to be honored today, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. I got to know Ted 25 years ago. I was fortunate enough to have to go to a trip to Los Angeles with Ted. And great person, interesting, but he got me started in this business. And one of the things he told me, it's his fault that I'm here today, because he told me, if you want to be successful, Kevin, you give to your community and it will repay you. Not the other way around. Don't let it repay you for the next 25, 30 years of your life and then you pay them back. And you try to repay them. You try to make your community a better place to live, work, retire in, and it will repay you. And I got started as president of the chamber and then mayor for a couple terms and then got thrown up here in the House and now in the Senate. And so I think that was a little bit overkill for Ted. Ted would tell you that I probably did a little bit too much, but I do remember that. The reason that Pat's here today is that we're going to name the bridge over the river here, the bicycle bridge. I got to walk on it the other night. It was very good. Winston went with me. He was scared all the way across. He walked all the way across looking over the edge, but he made it. But over 20 years ago, we were in the same fiscal situation we are now. Governor Ashcroft was on the second floor, and they've been trying to do this rails to trails. And they did the engineering, the design, all the paperwork, but the governor said, well, we just don't have the money. And Ted and Pat were involved with that very much. It's a little bit controversial. And finally, Ted said, well, if all you're needing is the money, I can do that. And Pat and Ted wrote a check for millions of dollars to fund the Katy Trail, which I think all of you would agree has been one of our greatest park resources in the state. So I remember that because when he wrote the check, it was pretty controversial. We're a partnership, and we got partners all over the country, and they all wired in on our system. And I remember it said, what is Edward Jones doing giving millions of dollars some controversial trail for? That's part of our profit, and we should have been consulted. And I remember Ted got on and said, that check came from my wife and I's checking account. If anybody has a problem, call me at this extension. And I would be willing to bet that that phone still hasn't rang. She is a conservationist in her own right. She's led efforts around the state. She's helped fund things. And here lately, just in a while back, they gave their 700-acre farm in Callaway County to the Conservation Department. She's a great Missourian, and I'm very proud to be associated with her. Now, I was going to leave it at that, but then last Friday, I was working in my real job, and for those of you that some of you don't understand what that is, we'll explain later what having a real job is, but I digress. Friday, we were backed up because it was April 15th, and two people commented on something I had on the wall, which people often do, but very few people sit in my lobby very often, so they don't get a chance to read it. I thought I'd take that off my wall and bring it back because I think it exemplifies Ted and Pat's feeling toward life. And it's very short, and I'm sorry, sometimes I get emotional when I read it because I read it quite often. It says, and if this is in response, I have to set this up. Over 20 years ago, Forbes started making a list of the richest men in America, and Sam Walton was the richest. Well, one of our associates wrote to Ted and said, Ted, if you would have taken the company public instead of giving it to us, the employees, you would have been the richest man in the world, or in America. And Ted responded, said, I am the richest man in America. I have a wife who loves me in spite of my faults. And this part Winston likes. I have four dogs. Two love only me. One loves everybody. That's kind of Winston. One loves no one, but still very loyal and follows me everywhere I go on the farm. I have a horse that I love to ride around the farm. And best of all, she comes when I call her. I have too much to eat and a dry place to sleep. I enjoy my business. I love my farm and my home. I have a few close friends and money. Money has never been my God. If you would help me show some appreciation to Pat Jones for being a great Missourian.
Thank you very much, Senator. And Ms. Jones, you have made Missouri a much better place to live because of you and your husband. Thank you for gracing us with your presence today. Thank you, Senator. Further introduction, Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Not sure how you follow that up, but over on your right and my left, I don't know if anyone was going to do this. One of our former colleagues is here talking to the pro tem and not listening, which is what he did most of the time he was on the Senate floor. We knew him for 20 years as Delbert Scott. We know him now as Todd's dad. Over here, a guy with high moral character, a guy who I have a lot of respect for, our friend, former Senator Delbert Scott.
Let's welcome former Senator Delbert Scott. Further introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Senator from the 15th. Send the resolution forward.
Mr. President, I would request the reading of the resolution be waived and ask that it be printed in the journal.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived and it will be printed in the journal. Would you care to explain the resolution?
Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution sets forth a date, July 26, 2011, in the afternoon for the Missouri Youth Leadership Forum to use the chamber for educational purposes for students with disabilities. And they would use the chamber, like I said, to learn more about government, and would now ask for unanimous consent of the Senate that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking up the adoption motion for the resolution.
Seeing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Mr. President, I move that the resolution be adopted.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted that that motion.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Staying on that order of business, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Seek unanimous consent for the introduction of a very special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I notice that on my left and to your right, over by the door to the Pershing Gallery, is the former senator from St. Clair, Senator Scott. Oh, did you already do that? Well, I'm going to introduce him again, just because he's that great of a guy.
Once again, let's welcome former Senator Delbert Scott. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will order business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send the report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Joint Resolution 12, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the joint resolution has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer House Concurrent Resolution number 42 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, and also please refer Senate Joint Resolution 12 to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, Mr. President.
Those bills will be so referred. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise?
Seek unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Over here to my left is our former colleague, Senator Delbert Scott.
Really?
I'd like okay. The Senate to make him feel well.
Yeah, let's welcome former Senator Delbert Scott. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you rise?
Introduction of special guest. Request unanimous consent for introduction of special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
To my left, just walking in, is the 2010-2011 McClure North High School Boys Basketball Stars from the 13th Senatorial District, which is the Ferguson-Florissen R2 School District. They won first place in the Missouri State High School Activities Association Class 5 State Championship on March 12, 2011 by defeating Troy Buchanan High School by the score of 63-53 at the Mizzou Arena at the University of Missouri Columbia. With us today is Coach Randy Reed, assistants Steve Lee, Trevor Lanny, Patrick Doherty, seniors B.J. Young, Caleb Bush, Tefan Lindsay, Toy, help me with your last name, Okorinboy, Keaton Turner, juniors Byron Ray, Latron Thomas, Jakari Finley, Damian Clemens, Tremaine Garrett, Galen Brown, Jordan Granger, Marcus Blair, Keith Jones, with Principal Shane Opper. In escorting them to the Senate chamber is State Representative Sylvester Taylor, whose alma mater is McClure North High School. I hope the Missouri Senate gives these young gentlemen a warm welcome for their successful journey this past year as state champions.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator, and congratulations, young men. Great job. Thanks for coming to the Capitol today. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think just one moment before we get started on House bills, I think we've got some others entering the chamber, and we've got a couple senators, I think, that want to recognize them. So if you can bear with me for just 1 second.
Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
For introduction, a very special, requesting unanimous consent for introduction, a very special guest, Mr. President.
Hang on just a second, Senator.
Indeed.
Let's have some order in the Senate chambers. We have some very special guests, and before the Senator introduces them, we'd like to turn the volume down. If you do have important conversations, please go to the side gallery. Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my right and to your left, we have Ms. Colleen Starkloff and Paraquad staff. Ms. Starkloff is the widow of Max Starkloff, who passed away earlier this year. He was the founder in 1970 of Paraquad Incorporated. Of course, those of us in the St. Louis area and many statewide know them as an advocacy organization for independent living centers for the disabled and all issues that affect the disabled community. We are honored to have them here today, and I'd ask the body to give them a warm welcome.
With the guests of the Senator from the 5th, please stand and be recognized. Thank you for coming to the Capitol today. Proceed.
Mr. Sean Dubrow works our halls very adamantly for the issues that affect his community, and we have also resolutions to present to Ms. Starkloff on behalf of the Senate for the work that her husband did. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further introductions. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I speak on a point of personal privilege?
Senator from the 1st has asked for a point of personal privilege. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a follow-up to my colleague from the 5th, we have with us in the chamber today close friends and colleagues of Jim Tuscher. Many of you may remember Jim and his tireless efforts on behalf of Missourians, in fact, all Americans with disabilities. Jim was a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. He completed his graduate work at the University of Missouri-Columbia and was a longtime resident of St. Louis. Jim was a driving force in establishing 22 centers for independent living in our state, the St. Louis Coalition of Citizens with Disabilities, the Missouri Association for Centers of Independent Living, and in the formation of Paraquad. His accomplishes and awards are too numerous for me to mention here today. Sadly, Jim lost his battle with cancer in March of this year. He was an inspiration to all he knew. The Missouri Senate would like to honor him here today with a resolution. Tim Ozinger, the Director of Life, and Juan Hollins, the Chief Operating Officer at Paraquad, are here to accept this resolution on behalf of Jim's daughter and granddaughter, as well as Jim's Paraquad family. I just want to say, personally, I worked on a number of different issues with Jim over the years. He's a very soft-spoken man, but a champion for those with disabilities in our state and around our nation. And I'm proud to present this resolution to his friends and family. So if we could make them feel welcome here today, Mr. President.
Would the guests of the Senator please stand and be recognized? Let's welcome them to the chamber. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise?
Also a point of personal privilege.
Now, Senator from the 22nd has requested a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. President. To add to the Senator from the 1st, I knew Jim. I knew him well. My dad knew him better than I did. This is a man with such high moral character, soft-spoken gentleman, as the Senator from the 1st talked about. He changed the way that our state thinks of people with disabilities, and he was a champion in that respect. What's amazing about him, from his obituary in the Post-Dispatch, says that he served as the chair of the Governor's Council on Disability under three different administrations. He changed our state for the better, and he's sorely missed. And rest in peace, Jim Tuscher. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Seeing no objection, the chair would like to introduce someone. To my left and your right is Dr. Robert Tate. He's a dentist in the Lee Summit, Grandview, Cass County area. If the body would make Dr. Tate welcome. Thank you. Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left, we have Mr. Chris Daniels, and he is the National Distinguished Principal from North Kansas City School District, right? And his wife, Rochelle, and his son, Quinn, and his other son, Creighton, over here, who have been very helpful to us this morning as we were presenting resolutions to them. They are with the, he is with Shoto Elementary in North Kansas City School District. It's a great honor that he has received for his distinguished work serving our students and his young family. And so I would appreciate it if the Missouri Senate would make him and his family feel welcome.
Let's recognize the guest of the Senator from Clay. Thanks for coming. Congratulations. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise?
Could I inquire of you?
State your inquiry.
I'd like your opinion on something.
State your inquiry.
When the Senator from the 15th has guests, and when he introduced them, all the senators seem to clap for him. But when other people have guests and introduce them, the Senator from the 15th never applauds. And I wonder what your opinion is on that.
I have no opinion on that. So.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 15th, I know why you're going to stand. For what purpose do you rise?
To speak on a point of personal privilege. Thank you for that weak gavel, Mr. President. I would like to point out that my friend from Jefferson evidently cannot see out of his left eye, because I do clap, and I want everyone here today in the gallery and around to know that I clap, and I have big hands, and my claps are loud. So I'm not sure. I am the tallest senator in the history of the Missouri Senate, and with that comes large hands. So my claps are indeed loud. So I am not sure what's happening to my friend to the right, but I would ask that he see a medical professional. Maybe the senator from Buchanan can visit with him later to check his eyesight. and his hearing. Thank you.
Let's give the senator a round of applause. Senator from Newton, for what purpose do you rise?
Unanimous consent for introduction.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
On your left, Mr. President, we have the Southwest Missouri Pachyderms. They're very helpful to most of us, and would like for you to welcome them and show them your appreciation.
Thank Would the guests of the senator from Newton please stand and be recognized? Thanks for coming to Jeff City. Thank you. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. That was the sound of one hand clapping. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. The formal calendar, House Bill 1.
On the formal calendar, House bills for third reading, House Bill 1. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 1 be brought before the body for third read and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 1 be third read and finally passed. This is the first of many budget bills that we are about to get to. This is the bill on public debt. Public debt pretty much is what public debt is. Constitutionally, it's our first obligation of things to pay. There are some increases because of water pollution control bonds, the fourth state building bond transfer, and stormwater control bonds. And everyone should have the package of papers that we had distributed, which show basically bill by bill, 1 through 13, what the major changes are. Obviously, this is a $23 billion budget, so we haven't laid out everything, but we've laid out those things that either are major changes or things that we've had inquiry from senators on so that everybody understands what's in there. You should have the sheet for House Bill 1, public debt. And that is, again, pretty much an obligation that we have without much controversy. Percy.
Senator from Boone moves the adoption of the House Committee substitute for House Bill 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from Boone moves that House Bill 1 be third read and finally passes. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
Thank you. I renew my motion and close.
The senator from Boone moves that House Committee substitute for House Bill 1 be third read and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee substitute for House Bill 1, an act to appropriate money to the Board of Fund Commissioners for the cost of issuing and processing state water pollution control bonds et al. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Lawson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 14th. Senator from Green. Senator from the 8th. Senator from Howell. Senator from Cape. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. There's no objection. Let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Staying on that same calendar, House Committee substitute for House Bill 2, Senator from Boone.
President, I now move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 2 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2 be adopted.
The senator moves that House Bill 2 be third read and finally passed. Senator?
Good.
Okay. He is moving for the adoption of the House Committee sub.
Senate Committee.
Senate Committee sub. Okay. Moving the adoption of the Senate Committee sub for House Bill 2. Would you care to explain that,
Thank
Senator?
You, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is House Bill 2. This is DESE, so this is the K-12 budget. A couple of things to point out. Again, everyone should have the sheet. Again, for 2012, under what we currently have in here, that would be full funding for the formula, just over $3 billion. Consistent funding for 2012 from 2011. It also includes the additional $20 million for the transportation line item that was developed in the Senate committee. So that would be $20 million over what the governor had in his recommendation. It also has additional funding of $3,050,000 for parents as teachers. And that's pretty much the highlights of House Bill 2.
The senator from Boone moves that Senate Committee substitute be adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Okay. Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Boone now.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you very much, Senator. I appreciate the inquiry. Before we get going, I appreciate the work that you've done as the Appropriations Chair. Appreciate the work that the committee has done. You and I have had discussions off this floor and on this floor where legitimately we just have a competing difference of ideas and in where we're going to go forward, not a reflection on you or the committee. I am going to vote no on this bill and on the other bills that move forward. But I did want on this bill and to kind of talk about the overall vision of the budget so that we as the Senate have to understand on basically what our revenues are based upon and what we are doing to call this budget balanced at this point. Is that fair enough?
Certainly, Senator.
Okay. It's my understanding, and we've already settled this, and I think the House has taken up and passed 14 and 15. So in 15, there was $189 million of additional federal funds targeted for education only.
Correct. And for the formula specifically.
For the formula specifically. So we are scoring that $189 million in this budget, as well as all the previous federal money, as well as a little over 200 and something million for enhanced FMAP.
Right, and actually for next year it's about 153 million
okay.
That goes into the formula.
Okay, because we relied on the cigarette, we relied on the lottery,
yeah,
you've 36 made up
million,
those funds.
Yeah, went in this year.
Which is different than what the governor did.
Yes.
So the House is trying to hold harmless the funding in the supplemental for this year because of reductions relative to tobacco and lottery, about 38 million, I think.
About 36, yeah.
36 million. So we've done that, but we've also then authorized basically the rollover of GR because we put basically the rest of those education funds into the formula, and then we're going to lapse out GR that then we'll spend in this operating budget. Is that a fair enough characterization?
Fair enough, yes.
And then other revenues, so I want everyone to know, we've accepted a lot of other federal funds that will run out. And so this is just me speaking. I don't know what your thoughts are, but my belief is that the federal government is not going to bail the states out again.
Yeah, I don't believe so either.
Okay. So it's fair enough that we will have decisions as a General Assembly and as an administration relative to fiscal policy next year that we're going to have to come to terms with what we're going to do with what I will call a hole in our budget when the federal money runs out. And I've heard estimates as low as $200 million to estimates as high as $755 million. But the honest truth is, Senator, and I think you and I can agree, we really don't know where that's going to be until we know what the growth in revenues from this taxable year are going to be, what the economy ends up turning around at. So I could stand up here and say it's $755 million. Someone else could stand up here and say, no, it's $200 million. But the truth is, we really don't know where that's going to be, and it's a pretty big spread. Is that fair enough?
That's true. I mean, I think there's a general agreement, as you said, that there is a gap. But what that gap is, and again, we've had this discussion, and you know, the gap for this year was projected to be larger than ultimately it was, and we can talk about all the reasons that is.
But there will be a hole.
Right, there will be a hole, and it is my opinion, and I think it's what came out of the committee, was that we are better off waiting until we have more accurate information to see what that amount is. But this is a disagreement that you and I have in how to approach this. But yes, I agree with you. There likely is a gap of some sort.
Okay, and so that'll be a decision that we need to make. And really, when you don't have money, we in the General Assembly are no different than back home. You can either go get more money, or you can cut expenses. Those are really the only two options, aren't they?
That's right.
I mean, so to fill that hole, we'll either have to cut expenditures, or we'll have to raise taxes. And that is going to be something that we'll have to grapple with from a fiscal standpoint next year. I do also want to talk about any other money that we're using that may be of one time, or maybe because of not continuing another program that we've based upon. The first thing that I would like to talk about, and I think everyone needs to understand when they vote for this budget, what we are doing. And I think it's fair enough to know a little bit about the assumptions that we're putting into the budget. It's my understanding that the Senate Appropriations Committee has banked approximately $20 million in revenue associated with the passage of House Committee Substitute for House Bills 116 and 316, which are known as the Tax Amnesty Program. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. That was in the governor's budget. House agreed with that. In fact, the House booked $50 million, I think, on tax amnesty. We think that the number, along with the governor, is about 20, a little over 20 million.
Okay.
And so yes, that is in there.
So that would be an additional 20 million of one-time money. That's not an annual recurring revenue stream. That's just an additional one-time source of revenue. Is that correct? That,
you could look at it that way, yes.
Okay. And has that bill passed the Senate yet?
I don't believe it has.
Okay. It's my understanding that it's sitting in fiscal review right now, and I don't know if you want to have a dialogue with the chairman of that committee, but there's a lot of bills sitting in that committee right now.
It's my understanding there are a lot of bills.
Hold on. Hey, hold on. He almost got you.
That was close.
But
Senator Johnson was very sparing in the use of the gavel.
He was very sparing in where he went. Okay, so and that's fair enough. I mean, I'm not trying to do this to judge one way or the other. I'm just trying to say so that everyone with open eyes knows what assumptions we're doing and what we're basing to say that this budget is balanced and in the direction that we go in. The other revenue source, as I understand, is we are banking that we will not renew the Senior RX program.
That is correct.
And that assumption of not having those expenditures in the budget are basically being utilized to say that we're in balance as well.
Well, they're being used in large part to pay the Medicaid Part D clawback, which is GR. We have to pay the feds for pharmacy. The rest of that went into the Medicaid pharmacy line, which, again, we have to use GR to put into the Medicaid pharmacy line.
And fair enough, that's there. So as I understand it, we're using one-time federal funds of $153 million, I think he said, of education funds. But we've already utilized a significant portion of one-time federal funds that are already in the existing budget. We are using enhanced FMAP monies that will go away as well. We are using a sunsetting of the Senior RX program to generate just under $20 million, I think.
Yeah, about 19.
$19 million. And then we are assuming that a tax amnesty bill passes that will generate $20 million of revenue that hasn't passed yet.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there anything else from a revenue standpoint or a sunsetting of a program standpoint that our budget is based upon?
Not that immediately comes to mind.
Okay, and I appreciate that. So I just think it's important that everyone understands that as we vote on this budget, that we understand what assumptions and what numbers this budget was based upon and what legislation it was based upon. And it's sort of like, you know, I don't want to use, you know, it's all built upon each other. You know, if this doesn't pass, then, you know, this is out of balance here. If this doesn't pass, this is out of balance there. And those one-time sources will have to be made up next year, either in cuts to programs or revenue. Is that a fair enough characterization?
It is. That's a fair assessment. But, I mean, these aren't things that we haven't dealt with before. And I'll give you a good example. In the formula in 2010, there was $455 million of one-time federal money.
Sure.
There. And so for 2011, we had to go down to about 246. So we actually had to find about $20 million of general revenue for 2011 to keep the formula at where it is right now.
And you know where I think we found that? I think we found it in the transportation line item. And unfortunately, I appreciate your work to put $20 million in there, but it's still a reduction from what we appropriated the preceding year. Now, it's an increase from where the governor withheld, but it's still a reduction in the transportation funding that we appropriated. But I concede that the governor withheld almost $100 million out of the transportation line item. He based upon his budget. Well, then he gave back $17.5 million, and then he based his budget upon that number. The House took that up. You at least worked hard, and I do appreciate that, because in my neck of the woods, the transportation line item is as important or more important than the formula,
right?
Because they're still running their buses,
right?
And as gas diesel's hitting $4 a gallon, they're taking that money out of classrooms,
right,
to keep their buses running. As you said, hey, they're appreciative of everything that we've done on that standpoint, but, you know, to kind of bring it back into circle, I think my words, we're playing kind of a game on the Missouri public when we say we're holding education funding harmless while the governor withholds almost $100 million in transportation line item funding. And then we put it back. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's about 53. I think the reduction overall now for 2012
okay.
is about
yeah,
53.
Yeah, he left. I agree. He left about $100 million left.
Yeah.
We appropriated that, and I apologize.
Right. But still, you've
got a lot of numbers in my head just like you do. I think we appropriated about $155 million or $3 million, $2 million for the transportation line item, and he withheld it down to 90-something million, and then he gave about $17 million back, so it got right up to about $100 million. So it's still, and then you put $20 million in,
right,
so it's roughly about $30 million less than what we appropriated last year.
Yeah, because he had it at 97 in his budget,
right,
for 12. We took it up to 117.
Right, and you've worked to get that back up by $20 million. So I hear you. I just, you know, kind of, in my belief, as long as we're cutting the transportation line item to say that the formula is quote unquote held harmless or flat funding, we're still cutting education in my mind anyway. So anyway, I don't mean to belabor this. We've got all of the assumptions of the federal funds, the senior RX program not being renewed, and of course, FRA has to pass. We've had that discussion, so the budget's based on the FRA.
A lot of moving parts, Senator.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts.
About it.
And then the tax amnesty program. But to your knowledge, we've talked about all the other big pieces that this budget is based on.
Everything I can think of right now.
Okay.
But again, I have a lot of numbers in my head at the moment, too, so
yeah,
there may not be a lot of space in there for us.
I hear you. I think you're getting a text message from truly the tallest person in the Senate.
It helps because he can project downward.
I mean, the senator from the 15th may be the tallest member in the Senate, but the tallest person in the Senate, I think, is in charge of our budget. So, I don't know, did we learn something new or?
Well, there is $30 million in access from Mohila.
Okay, from Mohila.
Yeah,
okay.
Which
now, did you budget this deal that the governor cut with the Missouri Development Finance Board where they're going to give money to job retraining as long as we don't cut retraining?
Yes.
Okay, so their whole deal was, and it's kind of interesting, and I don't mean to diverge, I'm not trying to delay the budget, but it's kind of interesting that as the Attorney General, Governor Nixon sued Mohila because he didn't like Mohila money being used within the appropriations process, and he pontificated at great levels about how awful Governor Blunt was and the Mohila board, actually sued all the Mohila board members at the time, and said how awful they were for using that in a general revenue type deal. And now he's going along, and for the second year now, he's using Mohila money to help access to the tune of $30 million. And now he's even broadened it to go get money from the Missouri Development Finance Board to go fund job training dollars that are there as well. So I kind of find it ironic that, I guess that happens in and around politics.
I think the governor's found that there are a lot of rocks to look under when you're in.
It's a hell of a lot harder to lead than it is to run for office, isn't it? And to actually make those decisions. I'm still waiting for the governor to restore all those horrible Medicaid cuts that he said was going to be priority one when he got elected. Now, did the governor put anything in the budget to restore all of those horrible Matt Blunt Medicaid cuts that we read so much about?
No.
You know, and I mean, so I guess it's now we're in his third budget that he's submitted to us. I guess we'll just have to wait for next year to meet that number one campaign promise and priority that he gave us when he first ran for governor.
I would say that the reality of the budget situation that you and I have been discussing that is very unlikely.
It happened naturally through caseload growth. I don't think we've changed the eligibility numbers, and I think that's what the governor wanted to do, is the governor wanted to change those eligibility numbers. But, yeah, I mean, probably caseload growth of the economy has had the increases that are there. But as I recall the debate, the governor was very, very critical of the reforms that Matt Blunt made as governor and said priority number one was to undo those Medicaid cuts, and I have yet to see a strategy or a plan that the governor has put forth to implement that.
Well,
I could be wrong.
The reality of it is, and it impacts every aspect of this budget, not just Medicaid, but,
right.
You know, for right now, for 2011, we are still down $1 billion in general revenue from 2008.
Okay, yeah.
And so when you look at those things that require GR, yeah, some very tough decisions had to be made. I obviously wasn't here when those decisions were made, but
right.
It, you know, if those decisions were not made in 2005, they would have been made in 2008.
Yeah, yeah. Or we would have raised taxes or something along those lines. So, but anyway, I appreciate the inquiry. I appreciate the work that you've done. And I hope the Senate and everyone has a better idea of the assumptions and the one-time revenues and the things that we're doing to get this bill forward. Not a reflection on your efforts. I know it's a very difficult job. A whole lot of moving parts that are there, and you and I just have an honest disagreement on leading as it's relative to these fiscal issues, and I respect in moving forward that it's better to start making those decisions when you have closer to perfect information. I concede to you that I have no idea what that revenue hole is going to look like, and so I can't really stay here and tell you this year we should cut $755 million or we should cut $200 million to prepare for that next year's budget battle. And the majority of the Senate agrees with you, and I respect that decision as we move forward. My opinion is just we cut till we can't cut no more to prepare for tomorrow and put in place those deals. But we'll be back next year, and I look forward to working with you at that time on maybe being able to to garner a little bit more support on different potential revenue plans. And unbelievable.
Senator from the 13th.
It's just amazing.
Direct violation of the Senate rules. Senator from Cape, proceed.
Thank you. Working forward with you on kind of that strategic plan that I think we both acknowledge that we'll have to move forward to relative to fiscal policy.
Right, Senator, I respect your input and I appreciate it. And if your prognostications are correct about where we will be, you know, we made some very tough decisions in this budget. The committee made some very tough decisions. It was not easy. There are some reductions in here that not everybody's happy with. But the reality of it is we are still down substantially in general revenue. We are not out of the woods. And if we have a hole next year, which could be, you know, anywhere from 200 to 700 has been predicted, we will have some extremely tough decisions. Right. But we will meet our obligations next year, and we will make those decisions. And they will be tough, but we will meet our constitutional obligations to have a balanced budget come out of this chamber.
And I just hope we do it without tax increases. And the only thing that I would say is, if we wanted to realize any savings for next year vis-a-vis tax credits, we have to pass those this year. Many of the savings that I've talked about for 4 years, they are delayed in nature. Pension reforms, tax credit reforms, any of those things that we put off thinking, well, we'll make those decisions next year. Everyone in the chamber needs to understand that even if you're prepared to look at tax credits reductions, not tax credit swaps, you know, what we used to spend on historics for airplanes or what we used to spend on low-income housing for different things, but even if you're prepared to look at reductions, those are a delayed realization of savings. Just like pension reform that we passed in the special session doesn't get us to the big savings until about years 7, 8, 9, and 10, because it just takes that long in order to realize those savings. So each year that we go by, and one that I will just throw out to this caucus in closing, $57 million a year we spend in property tax credit relief to people that don't pay property taxes. And it's something. It's something that we can look at as Republicans and Democrats, as conservative and more liberal senators or urban rural or anything else, and we have to tell ourselves, is the expenditure of that $57 million in property tax relief to people that don't pay property taxes the number one priority that we could be fulfilling with that $57 million? It's a question that confronts us and will confront us next year, because we're not really confronting it this year. But I look forward to working with you, particularly on that issue,
well,
to see what we can do today to help prepare as best we can for what you and I, even though we disagree on this budget, you and I both agree is coming tomorrow. So thank you very much for your work. Thank you very much for the inquiry. And Mr. President, looking good. Looking good, sir.
Thank you.
Looking good.
Further discussion. Senator from the 7th, what purpose
Thank
do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
It's all right. Don't worry. We're not going through my little speech that I did night before last.
I was wondering if you had anything left to say after everything you
oh,
said.
Oh, I've got plenty more to say, okay. But I'm not going to go there now. I just have some specific questions. And you and I have talked about this, but I guess I want to get it out there in public to make sure that people know what the intention of the legislature is.
Okay.
Obviously, it's been reported that we have $3 million deficit, if you will, as far as being able to pay for the testing. I mean, obviously, everything on education is dependent on the achievement of the students and being able to measure that and report it. And so you and I had talked about one of the line items that you have has flexibility enough to provide DESE the right to use $3 million to make sure our testing is complete and not to stop that program. Is that right?
I believe so.
Could we sort of make sure, because one of my goals is to make sure that we don't take out that very important leg that education is based on. I'm checking. I'm not quite sure exactly what item. There was no change, for example, in MAP testing or the dollar amount, and that's why I want to make sure I know exactly.
Yeah, because they DESE had reported that they're going to have to pull back on their test, which is such a significant leg of their whole program. Everything is based on that. I just wanted to see if they're going to be able to have that $3 million to test.
Yeah, there's no change. We've given them what they asked for. So the assumption is then that they have asked for sufficient funding for that testing.
Okay, are we still checking to make sure? Because you and I had talked about that there was some line item that they had that had some degree of flexibility to it to the point they could remove $3 million from that to use it for tests. I just really want to make sure because this is so critical.
I think we had some discussion. Was it the discussion we had last year on the administration line item for testing in DESE, or was it the actual test amount?
There was another fund or another line item that you told me about that you said had enough flexibility that the commissioner could take $3 million from that and use it for testing. But I really, really want to make sure. I don't want to get through this and then they still don't have the money to use their MAP test.
And I apologize, Senator. I'm just not recalling the conversation, but I can tell you.
I can understand that. You've had a zillion of them.
I can tell you, I mean, as far as the funding for testing, there's really been no change. We gave DESE what they asked for. I think we were consistent with the governor and the House on that. So everything from our perspective and the information we heard in the committee was they have ample funding to do what it is they need to do.
Did we change anything from what the House did or what the governor proposed?
No. Mm-mm.
But you all feel very secure that the $3 million they need for testing is in this budget?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wanted to make that public. The second thing is parents as teachers. There's a Missouri preschool project, and I want to see if the line item for parents as teachers is a separate line item, or are they dependent on what the Missouri Preschool Project gives to them?
Yeah, they're separate.
They're separate. Mm-hmm. So we're protecting parents as teachers.
Yeah, the governor had an additional $3 million in for parents as teachers. We gave him the additional three, and we put in an additional $50,000 on top of that.
And I understand the House put in an additional $200,000 in, so we reduced that by $150,000?
That is correct.
All right. Because I am getting contacted by preschool directors and those who run Parents as Teachers programs, and they are very concerned that the money given to the Missouri Preschool Project will be used for administration and the programs will be pulled back. I guess I want to feel very secure that money isn't going to administration, but to the delivery of services to children.
Yeah, I mean, that shouldn't have any impact.
So you all feel very secure that parents as teachers funding, as you put in there, did somebody violate a rule of the floor that we have to?
I believe we heard a cell phone.
Oh, my.
Proceed.
At any rate, so parents as teachers should feel very secure that Missouri Preschool Project cannot remove any of their money from programs.
No, you're correct.
Okay, all righty, thank you. And I do appreciate your work.
Thank you so much.
Senator from Howe, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I request unanimous permission to introduce special guests.
See no objection, proceed.
I want to introduce the doctor of the day. You know, every time you work on budget issues, everyone tends to get an upset stomach. So it's good to have the doctor of the day here, and I wanted to introduce them. Jenny Powell from Lebanon, she'll stand. And her husband, Wes Powell, who is a fine dresser, wears bolo ties. So I would like for them to make them welcome to the body, and they are the doctor of the day.
Let's welcome the physician of the day and the other guests of the Senator from Howe. Thanks for coming. Further discussion? The Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Very, very briefly. I'm looking at the spreadsheet here, the very first item. Mm-hmm. We increased funding for early childhood special ed, $9.5 million.
Yeah, $9.45 million. Uh huh.
And then we decreased early childhood programs by three. Are we robbing from Peter to pay Paul? What can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I mean, basically, we increased by 9.4, almost $9.5 million early childhood special ed. The $3 million reduction on the early childhood program, that is the preschool program grants to daycares. Those are the grants, aren't they? Yeah, those are the grants. I mean, basically, it allows entities to apply for grants to buy equipment and things like that. I think it was the intention of the committee to make sure that we kept money in services and some of these things, because again, we are substantially down in general revenue. It's not an easy budget. We did have to find some savings and some reductions, as did the governor, as did the House, and that the area of grants was a better place to find that. They're one-time grants to buy things, so than reducing services. We didn't want to reduce the services.
So they're not, service oriented. They don't go to continuing operations.
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Sure.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the first, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, you? He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Just a couple of questions. On page two of House Bill 2,
okay, hang on.
Starting at line five, we've got the foundation formula. Can you just maybe direct the members to where there are federal stimulus monies in this portion of the education budget?
All right, hang on 1 second. Let me pull up the bill. You're on page two?
Correct.
Well, overall, there's 64.9 of budget stabilization, 64.9 million.
Okay. And I see that. That's line 14, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then federal, we've got 981 million federal, but I don't know if you're treating that differently. That would be the federal money that we would otherwise get, which is we've lined it out separate from stabilization money.
Right. Actually, I was just trying to see where the monies from House Bill 15 would show up in the formula.
Line 18 and line 15? 15. 18 and 15 is where that money would show up.
18 and 15?
Yes.
Well, 18 says that's lottery proceeds.
No, 18 on mine says from Federal Budget Stabilization Fund.
What page are you on?
On page two?
Yes. What are you working on, Senator?
Are you on the Senate Committee Substitute?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it should be the Senate Committee Substitute, page two, lines 15 and lines 18.
Okay, and what are those numbers, Senator?
Line 15 would be money from the State School Monies Fund. That's $2,206,407,428. But again, that would be all the money from this. That's all the formula money, basically. It would include, though, some of that federal money that gets plugged into the formula. And then on line 18, specifically from the Federal Budget Stabilization Fund, $64,918,743.
Okay. All right. In reference to Article 9, Section 3B of the Constitution, it directs the General Assembly to use no less than 25% of state revenues available for education. Can you quantify where we are in relation to that directive?
We are way, way above it.
We're way north of that?
Yeah, I can't give you the exact dollar amount. If you give me a minute, I probably could, but I know that that's
Is that based on what our general revenue is that's available?
Total state revenue, yes.
Total state revenue.
It's not just GR, it's total state revenue.
Okay. All right. So none of our crack staff know where we're at as far as in relation to that percent?
I'm sorry?
None of the staff know a number, our percentage of number?
About 34-35%.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Boone is on House Bill 2, Senate Committee Substitute. Does anyone else wish to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Boone renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2 be adopted. As many of the option that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2 with the Senate Committee Substitute be read a third time and finally passed.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Boone has renewed his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the State Board of Education and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education et al. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator of the 24th. Senator from Polk. The bill receiving 29 ayes and 4 noes has received a constitutional majority and declared pass. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
And I now move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 3 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 4th.
President, I'd like to seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Mr. President, to your left and to my right, I have 4 visitors from Turkey, 2 members of the Turkish Parliament, a chief of staff, and a director of the Niagara Foundation. One of the members of the Parliament is Mr. Ismail Özgün. Another member is Mr. Mehmet Salan Edegar, the chief of staff, Abraham Tatar, and the director of the Niagara Foundation, Mr. Aidan Danak. So I would like to ask all the members of the Senate to give them a very, very warm welcome.
Would the guests from the Senator from the 4th please rise? Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 3 be adopted. This is, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Can I proceed? This is House Bill 3. This is the Department of Higher Education. Some highlights from this, again, you have your sheets. The governor initially had recommended in his budget a 7% cut for the public higher ed institutions. In the committee, through some of the work we've done, we have found $20 million in order to reduce that cut from the governor's 7% to a 4.8% cut, which would be equally applicable to the 2-year and the 4-year public institutions. Again, as the Senator from Cape and I discussed, this does have $30 million that the governor has from Mohila to go into the Access Missouri Scholarship Program. One thing we did, though, is we did change that just a bit to take that $30 million and put it into the Clark and Lewis Discovery Fund to make sure that that money goes into Access and does not alleviate Mohila from those remaining projects that they are statutorily obligated to fulfill from Mohila funds. It does have $7 million in increased funding for the A-plus schools program. It's not an expansion. That is simply the normal progression and growth of the A-plus program. We do have the $1 million funding for the state from the state nursing board to be used at the four-year nursing degree programs. We have the $100,000 funding for new AP incentive grant program for recipients of Access Missouri scholarships or A-plus awards. Those are generally the highlights of House Bill 3.
Senator Boone has Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 3. Does anyone else wish to be heard? Senator from the 13th.
Unanimous consent to introduce special guest.
Proceed.
In the upper gallery, we have students from St. Rose Philippine Duchesne School in Florissant, Missouri. We have 40 students with 7 parents. It's an 8th grade class. With them is their principal, Tom Hankey, and Rose Seegers, a teacher. Up front, we have honorary pages, Drew Mudd, Sydney Fisher, Bria Paxton, and Sam Weisler. If the students in the upper gallery would please rise in the Missouri State Senate, give them a nice warm welcome.
Let's make the guests of the senator from 13th feel welcome. Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I heard you talking about a scholarship that you and I have just kind of privately discussed a little bit that's very near and dear to my heart, the Access Missouri Scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm real pleased with the way things have turned out, but I just want to make sure that I've got the facts straight. As I recall, in last fiscal year, there was around $82 million that we appropriated for that fund. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's generally right.
And then the governor withheld, what, $20 million, $30
million? He withheld $50.
He withheld $50 mm-hmm. million from that fund. And that's money that goes to help particularly lower-income Missouri children, whether they're going to a public school or one of our private colleges.
Yeah, Access Missouri is all need-based. Yeah.
Needs-based. Mm-hmm. And then once we got done with all the withholds, that fund where we had appropriated 80-some million got whittled down to $60 million.
That's about right, yes.
Okay. And now this year, we will have a total of around $62 million that will be available, $64 million. $64. All right, so we're up a couple million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Senator from the 4th, you will not interrupt Senator's debate. Thank you, Senator from Jefferson.
Senator from Boone, I am just floored that one of our distinguished colleagues would walk in between us.
I think the senator from Cole may need to see the senator from Buchanan to test his reflexes, because that was a little slow on the uptake.
You know what? I'll tell you what. If we went to the senator from Buchanan as often as we may need to go to, I don't think he'd ever get anything done. Right, right. It has something to do with ethanol hybrids. But anyway, back on the important topic of higher education and scholarships for our needs-based students, I need to make sure, are we going to have a net increase, because I forgot the numbers when we were so rudely interrupted, are we going to have a net increase of $2 million or $4 million to that fund?
$2 million.
$2
million. Yes.
Okay. And you believe that there is a very strong likelihood that we're not going to run into the withhold situation this year, or are we going to have another $50 million withhold? Or do we know?
Well, I mean, I think all we can do is go off what the governor has in his recommendation. And I do believe that the governor getting $30 million from Mohila is a good faith effort on the governor's part to get $30 million more and put it in Access. Ultimately, it is always within the governor's discretion, provided that it appears that expenditures will exceed state income, he can withhold. We've seen a little little gray area on that here this year, but you know, the governor always has the ability under the right circumstances to withhold.
Sure.
I would hope that he wouldn't do that in access.
But this was in his recommendation.
Yes.
So we haven't done anything any different than what he's already recommended and projected that he's going to have enough funds to cover.
No, the $30 million, that's right. The $30 million was in his budget from Mohela into access.
So this is a non-conferenceable item. It's all set.
The amount is not conferenceable. We did change the language a little bit to make it clear that the $30 million would go into a fund and then into access to make it clear to Mohela that they are not relieved from their obligations to fund those other projects,
okay,
which currently they are statutorily obligated to fund, yet the governor has not really worked with them to fund those.
Is there any concern that maybe we're setting a bad precedent that we're taking less general revenue and we're relying on Mohela money that may or may not be, I guess either one of those pools of money may or may not be available in the future?
Well, as I had discussed with the senator from CAPE, that's always a scenario that we look at. And
okay,
and while we would like to plan as far ahead as possible, sometimes you have to take that on a year-to-year basis and then set your priorities and then find the money where it is.
Well, Senator, I realize that this is anecdotal evidence, but nonetheless, I think it's important for you and the members who are here present or the members who may be listening that we have discussed our frustration, and the senator from the 13th, I think, has also discussed his frustration with ever-escalating tuition costs, particularly at our public schools. And just so that you know, there's a young lady that's in my district that is a distinguished scholar, got an award from the Missouri School Boards Association just recently this week, so she is a top-notch student. I've talked with her about her ability to where she's going to go, and she's going to go to Mizzou, so she'll be in your backyard here soon and then coming home to my backyard. But she told me that her total cost for room, board, not any kind of fancies, frills, or extras, was going to cost her $22,000 per year for a public education at the University of Missouri in Columbia. I have a young lady in my family who is going to go to Central Methodist University, and that total cost for her will be $26,000. So they're almost comparable. Now, the big difference is that I think you and a lot of the other members here have heard that our public universities are no longer counting on students getting out with a bachelor's degree in 4 years, that they're looking at a 5-year or a 6-year model at our public universities with a bachelor's degree. Is that your understanding?
That is my understanding. I think it's an interesting point, though, because roughly the same cost for Central Methodist and for the University of Missouri, yet through access, a student at Central Methodist still gets twice as much of Access Missouri funding as somebody at the University of Missouri. But I will tell you, I appreciate your point, and it's something that I think we were very conscious of in the committee,
right,
which is we're looking at these numbers, and we're going to get to mental health, and we're going to get to social services, and we're going to look at some of these caseload growth numbers, which, frankly, take general revenue and our discretion away. And what has happened over time is the middle class, who in large part gets hurt by tuition increases and increased costs in education,
exactly,
kind of get pushed to the side because we fund these other things. And I think that what we tried to do in committee was make that a priority, because I think that's been out of everybody's scope for a while, to say, wait a minute, the people who are paying the freight really aren't getting the attention they need. And so that's one reason that we came up with $20 million additional dollars for higher ed. And also, as part of that $20 million, one of the main reasons for that was, what could we do as a committee, mm-hmm, to make sure that we are relieving some of the out-of-pocket costs in higher ed? And so we did get a commitment, and we're still working on that, but we got a commitment from all the presidents of the public two-year institutions and all the public four-year institutions that they will find out-of-pocket cost savings as a result of getting that $20 million. So I appreciate exactly what you're saying, and we are
right,
trying to do that.
And I'm so glad, and I think that is key, what you just said, that you are trying to get commitments that they not raise tuition and fees, because now...
Well, and remember, tuition, the train has left the station on tuition because student aid packages,
right,
have already gone out.
Right.
But there are course fees, which are essentially the same thing as tuition.
Yes.
You've got course fees, you've got tons of other fees. You know, if you're a student or you've got a student at a university and you get that bill and you see all those fees and all those things on there is a lot of latitude to find those savings by those institutions.
I've absolutely seen them, and I was shocked because at a private university, you'll see tuition, room, and board. That's basically it. You're done. At the university, I've seen those tuition statements, and you have the tuition, statement, room and board statement, and then you have probably, I think, maybe 14 fees, including a capital improvement fee, a capital maintenance fee, and I thought, well, if our students are supposed to be paying for the capital maintenance at our public universities, then why are they coming down here and asking us for money to maintain the infrastructure and the buildings there, because the students are being charged for it? They do a really good job. I mean, I'm a graduate of the University of Missouri in Kansas City and their law school, but I also went to undergraduate school down the road here at Woods in Westminster. And I've also found out that you can get through Woods from an entering freshman, the number of those entering freshmen that are out in 4 years with a bachelor's degree is approaching 50%, and realizing that they have, you know, students who are not full-time students. But and I've got William Jewell in my district, so this money is critical. The only place where you and I differ a little bit is we've got tons of public money, taxpayer money, that supports the buildings, the teachers, the staff, everything, the utility bills at our public universities. Our privates don't get any of that. The only time that they get any public funding is indirectly through the funding of scholarships.
But that's what makes them private.
I'm sorry, what?
That's what makes them private.
Exactly. That's what makes them private. And, of course, the facilities are not bright and shiny and pretty like they are at a lot of our public schools. But, nonetheless, I love our public schools, and the University of Missouri, Kansas City has amazing facilities, and I'm glad they're there. But this funding is of critical importance to our students, to the middle class, to the working families of Missouri, that are really trying to provide that quality education for their children, regardless of whether the public setting or the private setting is the best for them. And Senator, I know that you realize that there are some students that they just wouldn't fit at a private school, and there are others that just wouldn't fit and they would get lost in a big public school. So I'm thrilled that our emphasis here is on the student and not the system. And I hope that we can continue to have more like this. I congratulate you on the work that you're doing, and I look forward to making sure that we continue this funding.
Well, thank you, Senator, and I look forward to working on that, because, again, I think when we see the cuts that we've made to higher ed the last 3 years, which are proportionately higher than just about anybody else's cuts,
right,
and then we're shocked that somehow the middle class and everyone else is getting stuck with a tuition increase, and we say, well, how could this happen? Well, it happens because it takes a requisite level of funding to keep those institutions open.
Yep.
And as we continually cut them back, something's got to give. So I want to work with you, because I think we need to have this discussion and say, are we going to help out the middle class, the lower middle class? And the reason I say that is because if you're really at the bottom end on education, there are so many funding opportunities available to you that really you don't feel it quite as much as people who are a little bit above that. But we need to find those opportunities. And we need to make sure that we provide affordable public higher education in the state of Missouri. It should be one of our top priorities.
And I totally agree with you with one exception, that we need to find affordable higher education opportunities, because, Senator, I will just tell you that there's a young student in my family that a lot of our private colleges and universities have a much more nurturing environment. And we need those to make sure that those kids are pulled across the finish line. There are others that can survive in an area and flourish in an area where there are tens of thousands of students. I probably wasn't one of those students. I needed to be right where I was down here, and I'm thankful that I had the scholarship opportunities that I did. But later, I was prepared to go into the larger university environment and not only succeed, but flourish. So, I'm thrilled that we're keeping educational opportunities open for Missouri's students, and I thank you for the work that you're doing in preserving Access Missouri.
Thank you, sir.
Senator for the Fifth, for what purpose do you rise?
I seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. In the upper gallery, to my right and to your left, Mr. President, we have the Soulard School, the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade classes with parents and teachers, and I'd ask the body to welcome them as they tour the Capitol today.
Let's make the guests of the Senator from the 5th feel welcome in the Missouri Senate today.
Senator from the 14th, for which purpose do you rise?
I seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests from my district today.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Today I have with us in the upper gallery students from the Freedom School. There are over 20 students that are here, and their school is located in University City, and I am so happy that they are here to experience the legislative process. If everyone in this body would give them a warm welcome, I'm sure they would appreciate it.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 14th please rise and be recognized by the Missouri State Senate? Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you rise?
Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
For just a brief inquiry. We talked a few weeks ago. There was some consternation from the community colleges, and you may have already mentioned this in your opening remarks. The governor's agreement was a 7% cut, I believe,
yeah,
to higher.
Yeah.
What did we do, and did we equalize?
We did.
2 and 4 year.
Yeah, the governor's budget with the 7% cut to higher ed was a 7% cut to both the 2 year community colleges
and the 4 years.
And the 4 years.
Right.
And so what we did by funding the additional $20 million is we put that back into the regular way they all get funded.
Okay.
So for all of them, the 2 years
so
and the 4 years.
So what is their cut then?
4.8%.
4.8%.
Yeah, so.
That's it.
Yeah, community colleges, 4 year colleges, both 4.8.
Okay.
We just raised that from a 7 to a 4.
Thank you, Senator.
Yes.
We are on Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 3. Senator from Polk, for which purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. It's Choir from the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I spoke to you just a little earlier about this issue, and I was not aware of that, I guess, until just a short time ago, which maybe I should have did my homework a little better, but it seems like I've been occupied with a few other things this year. But I'm deeply concerned on the Access Missouri Financial Assistance Fund and the Lewis and Clark. And one of the things that come about as I look through this, they are the only ones, or one of the very few, that does not have an E.
Well, we took a lot of E's out. The E on that particular $30 million was taken out by the House, and we concurred on that, and I think that it's a general feeling that with an E, there's some room for some mischief. And I think in this tight budget situation that we're in, we took a lot of E's out last year as well. The E's are ratcheting down. I think when the House and the Senate appropriate funds, we want to make sure that things stay where we think they are. So that's why, I'm sure that's why the House took it out, and that's why we concurred.
I guess for me, though, if you look at A+, if you look at the other scholarships with major funds in them, they don't. We didn't do it to them. And I guess my question is why did we just go here, or why did we not go after the other major scholarships to do the same thing? Because it would seem like the circumstances would be the same.
Well, I think particularly on this one, because it's MOHELA and there's some moving parts to it, I think the House probably had some concerns about what might happen there, and we concurred with that and took that out. Senator, are you anticipating that there would be more money from somewhere other than the $30 million from MOHELA to go into Access?
Well, you know, I don't know what the future would be on that, but I guess what I'm saying, my concern is if there was a student out there that actually was in this program and they're sending the money back, at some point they could be in a catch-22 if this funding runs out and they don't get money. Where if you've got the E on it, then they can change that. And is that not correct?
Well the E simply allows them flexibility in the spending line. The E's like saying, well, it's approximate.
Right.
And by taking the E off, we're saying it's $30 million.
I guess I do. I guess I'm a little. I don't understand why there. I mean, okay. And let's take okay. If it's the political arena, because you know people are moving money around, they can do that in all these other funds too, can they not? And
to
I'm
a certain
not
extent,
an educator. Education is not my cup of tea.
Any fund where there is an E, there's a fair amount of flexibility.
I guess what I'm looking at is why would we not want an E on there at least in the Senate, and if the House don't, at least we have a conference. At least we have a chance. But I also respect you as a budget chair, and for whatever reasons that wasn't put in there, but I guess, is that a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. I just don't think there's any likely scenario where they need that E. And for example, I mean, if something changed, I guess, on Access Missouri, it could always be a supplemental issue, but I certainly don't see that happening. But
Then tell me why the difference is, just A+. What's the difference having an E on A+ versus Access Scholarship?
Hang on a second. Let me ask
you. I'm just trying.
in general, I'm trying to think, why would one be any different than the other?
Well, I think because of the way that access is being funded, there was some concern about how that potentially could be
because how the money was being spent and who could maneuver with the money.
Yes,
and,
that's
and
correct.
You get a little bit of the political arena.
That's right, and the others are not being funded that way.
Even that being said, you still got the same student that you got in the other program receiving the funds.
Well, not necessarily, because access is need-based. Receives. Others, such as Bright Flight, is not. There are others that are not. Yeah.
The difference in it. I guess I would like to, you know, with respect to you being the budget chair, I suppose I'd like a fighting chance for people that are in this situation, for students that are in this situation, at least to have a shot in conference.
Senator, I, and again, I'm just not fully appreciative of why you think that E is so important, because I think from the committee's perspective, it's really just not that big of an issue, and that's why I'm trying to figure out why you're so adamant about putting an E on that $30 million.
Okay, so, and help me to understand this maybe a little bit. Then if students were getting out of this fund and they transferred and they sent the money back in, would it possibly ever be where the point where they with that money where they couldn't get the money?
No, because they'd still have the $30 million.
If you didn't have the supplement.
If somebody got part of the $30 million and then sent it back, it would still be within the $30
million. But at some point, you'd go over the $30
million
if you kept doing that. If you put it out and you put it back in, budget-wise.
But it would only come out of what they've already appropriated. So I don't understand where giving money back would be new money that would be above and beyond the amount that's appropriated.
Well, you know, and I don't know that I can just, I guess the bottom line to my concern then, and I'm going to do what I can to support you as the budget chair, because you and the committee just went through this. I guess I just don't understand. If it doesn't make any difference, why we didn't put it there, other than the political part of it.
Well, again,
why we put it everywhere else. Because if you talk to some of your colleagues, they're basically going to say, okay, let's do away with all of them, and let's come back to the supplement. I mean, I know that argument on the side of it, too. But I guess it seems odd we're doing it just here.
Where we tend to leave ease is where there's uncertainty about what the actual end amount will be. On that $30 million, we know it's $30 million. That's what the governor had. It's what the governor asked for. So, again, there was really no need for any. And this isn't something that just came out of the committee. This came out of the House, and we concurred with the House on it.
That being said, used to serve in that House, you know. That's why we make changes sometimes to both sides of it here.
We usually put E's on dedicated funds and federal money, those things that we're not sure of the actual amount. In other words, a dedicated fund where you're not sure by the end what's actually going to come in, a federal fund where you know there's federal money there but you don't know what the exact amount is. Things, you know, things of a GR nature where we have a defined dollar amount generally don't, they generally don't have E's.
Have we normally had E's in access scholarship?
On access?
Has it normally been there?
Have we had E's in the past on access? Apparently there has in the past at some time. But I don't know that that's always been consistent.
I guess my biggest concern is I want to make sure that my students across the state that are in this fund, get their fair share and that they're not treated any different than anybody else in any other scholarship programs.
Yeah, I don't think they would be just because an E's not there on the line.
Maybe the E doesn't make any difference, or maybe it does, but for some reason it does because everybody wants it in there or they want it out. So there is a difference.
Senator, you're actually the first person that has raised this issue that taking that E off is a major issue. I have not heard that from anyone.
I don't know if it's a major issue or not, Senator.
Okay.
It is to me on that. But that being said, I probably should have did my homework a little earlier and should have been in your office earlier and talking to you about that.
I'd be happy to discuss that with you for next year on what we do with access and whether they have an E or not.
All right. Well, listen, Senator, thank you. I will make a decision going forward here, and appreciate the inquiry.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 3. The Senator from Buchanan, for which purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. A couple things that I wanted to talk about. First of all, was the A-plus program. Mm-hmm. I think you and I pretty much agree that the A-plus program really isn't structured fairly.
I, I, we've discussed that. I do have some concerns about A+.
Because you can draw, you know, a line down the school district boundary, down a street, and on one side of the street, a child can participate in the A+ program, but on the other side of the street, the child is locked out. I noticed that we put $7 million more dollars in there, and I was wondering exactly how does that help the problem?
Well, the $7 million is not... initially, there was some proposal at an expansion. The $7 million is not an expansion. It is simply... It's basically kind of like the cost to continue. It's the amount of money that's needed to continue the program at the current level as a result of the students that are in it. And I do share your concerns. I mean, A+ initially, it really is a school improvement program, but the result ends up being a scholarship program. And so you have some students that are eligible for scholarship money and others that are not, based on the activity of the school over which they have no control. And that is what gives me great concern. We had looked at some of the public policy behind A+, and I think at this point, at least for this year, it would be a major change to change A+. I mean, we obviously didn't agree to the massive expansion. But to change it at this point requires a fair amount, I think, of public discussion. And one thing I think the committee wanted to be very careful on, and you and I have discussed some of these issues, some things that, as a matter of public policy, may need to be changed, but need to have the adequate amount of public discourse and airing before we make those changes. And I would say this is probably one of them.
And so how would we go about doing that? Would you think that somebody would have to introduce a bill
that would,
to phase out the program?
I think that would be a good start to get that dialogue going, yes.
Okay. The other area that I wanted to discuss with you was the
senator from Lawrence. For which purpose do you rise? Three senators on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent for the introduction of special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to start by apologizing to the senator from Buchanan for interrupting his inquiry. It sounded like he was transitioning to another topic, so I thought I'd try to slide in real quickly. We have some special guests here on the couch. To your left and my right, from the College of the Ozarks down in the 29th District, we have Taylor Short from Mansfield, Missouri, Josh Smith from Branson, Missouri, Kyle Brack from Grandview, Missouri, Micah Zerkovich from Hollister, Missouri. I said that one quickly because I wasn't sure I would say it right. Brett Williams from Rolla, Missouri, and their sponsor, Kurt McDonald. And I'd also ask that their sponsor, Mr. McDonald, be made a page for the day. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask the body to welcome them.
Will the guests from the senator from Lawrence please rise and the page of the day be compensated by the senator from Lawrence? Let's make them feel welcome in the Missouri State Senate. Senator from Buchanan, proceed.
Okay. Thank you. And the other area that I wanted to discuss was the distribution of funds among the various universities.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have in St. Joe with Missouri Western State University is that the number of students keeps growing in proportion to other schools, but the proportion of funding doesn't grow with the students.
Well, actually, I think the University of Missouri may actually have the largest growth rate. So I may have to disagree with you there. I don't know the exact numbers, and they haven't gotten anything additional.
Well, have you looked at the actual formula that is used to determine?
Yeah, not in a while. And I know, you know, the equity issue, I know, is something that was addressed by the senator from Joplin previously when he was the budget chairman, I think either two or three years ago. And I actually think Missouri Western, which is your concern, I may be mistaken on this, but I think Missouri Western may have actually gotten an increase. They got bumped up for the adequacy when not everybody got bumped up.
Well, my question is, when we decide how much to apportion, do we use a formula that has parameters, or do we just kind of like take the core and increase it a certain percent every time?
Well, I mean, that's for the Department of Higher Ed, but in the sense of a formula like we have for K-12, we do not have, the state of Missouri does not have a higher ed funding formula. Now, there are factors, I think, and I can't recite all of them, that go into how higher ed makes those determinations, and there is a, it's not really a formula, but there is a way that they get their funding.
I'm really curious as to what that way is, and specifically, I'd like to know, does that method take into account the student population at each institution?
Community colleges have a formula for themselves for the 4 years. It's just what they get appropriated.
But the four-year universities don't. Well, what's happened here is that on a per-student basis, schools that are growing, like University of Missouri.
Senator Buchanan, would you please face the dais during the debate?
I thought my shoulder here. Okay.
I thought so, too, but the senator from the 15th did not.
Oh, my God.
I am glad to see that the senator from Cole's reflexes have gotten a little faster.
Yeah, I will be checking those out later.
With a mallet, probably a big mallet, whack him on the knee.
If I, like, turn and just to the post there, would that be okay? Or do I have to, like, be like this? Or...
Let your conscience be your guide.
Okay, and your hammer. Okay, but anyway, so this has led to a problem with both your institution, the one in your district, and the one in mine. And I think that over time we need to fix that.
Well, again, Senator, I think that's one of those issues that probably needs more public discussion. And obviously bringing Department of Higher Ed into that discussion. And I know they've had those discussions in the past, but, you know, everyone always feels that they're not getting enough. And so it probably is always a good idea to have that discussion so that everybody can really figure out who is disadvantaged and who may be overcompensated.
So you don't feel that it's the process of budgeting through which we should make a decision like that? You feel more like it's something that we should legislate, like a bill?
Well, I think there's a reason that we go consistently off what we have done previously, because there's an equilibrium that is reached at a point in time, usually on these types of issues. And, you know, and I've heard your concern, and we've talked about this, for the funding for Missouri Western, but I can guarantee you, once that can of worms is opened, every other four-year institution is going to have a very good argument for why they are not sufficiently funded. And it will be a much broader-based dialogue, and not to say that that's a bad thing to have that discussion, but you have to allot ample time to have that discussion.
So, how would you propose going about it, do you think? Talking to the Department of Higher Ed? Or...
I talked to Higher Ed, and I talked to the Chairman of the Education Committee, and, you know, the Chairman of the Education Committee is always working on equity issues, because they're never-ending, and they will always be never-ending. Okay. But I would say that would be a good place to start.
Okay. Well, thank you for the inquiry. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. We are on Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 3. Senator from the First, for which purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the Senator from Boone?
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Just a couple quick questions, Senator. Not on the budget numbers, but just on a follow-up from the Senator from Buchanan. When you guys were talking about the A-plus program, you mentioned that it was a school improvement program. I'm just curious, how is it a school improvement program?
Because the school has to go through certain steps to be eligible for the A-plus program, and then students from that school can participate in A-plus. But if the school doesn't participate in A-plus, you may be a student at that school, but you don't get to participate in that, so that is a scholarship option that's not available to you.
It's a scholarship opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah. And what are the criteria that the schools have to do to become an A-plus school?
As I stand here right now, Senator, I couldn't list all those off for you.
Okay. And this is a bugaboo of mine, you know, like bringing it up every year, you know. One would think that to get a scholarship, you'd have to get an A-plus, right? Or you'd have to have a grade point average. It was A-plus. What is it really?
It's about a C-plus
program, isn't it?
Well, I know that last
2.5
year,
is
last year there was an attempt, I know, to lower it, I think, to a C or C-plus.
Right.
I don't think that went through, though, but I don't think that you actually have to have an A-plus. I think that's just the name of the program to denote an improvement.
To denote something, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Something good.
Yeah. Senator, I know that there is, certainly was talk about the idea of, as we look at our four-year institutions across the state, that in these very difficult budget times, that we might look at
different maybe degree programs that are offered, you know, in different at different schools across the, public schools across the state. Have we made any kind of progress on that? You know, just to throw one out, the idea that that the University of Missouri at Columbia has a law school, and then UMKC also has a law school, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Right. And I'm curious, have we made any kind of effort to look where we have duplication? And that's just one example.
Well,
know,
I mean,
in our institutions, so that, you know, I mean, my understanding is that we're graduating a lot of lawyers, and there's a lot of lawyers out there without jobs, you know.
A lot of engineers out there without jobs.
Right.
They're doctors. There's doctors out there without jobs,
right,
which I think nobody thought would ever happen.
Right.
Nurses out there without jobs.
Right.
You know, the governor did do that this past year and had asked the four-year institutions to look at duplication of degrees. And I know, for example, at the University of Missouri, they did some substantial reductions. They eliminated programs. It's fairly controversial on behalf of the governor to reach down into those institutions and micromanage at that level. But it's my understanding the institutions all responded, and I can't speak for all of them. I do know the University of Missouri, though, did comply with the governor's request and did find pretty substantial reductions in elimination of programs. But the reason you have to be careful on that, you can look at the University of Missouri, the law school at Columbia, which is a very traditional three-year law school of tending to be younger students right out of school, who go straight from college or a graduate program to law school, and they're there all day. UMKC, on the other hand, while certainly has those types of students, has an evening program. And so what you find from UMKC is a lot of adults who are otherwise working, cannot go to school during the day, who get a law degree through the night program. So again, I think it's always a good idea to look at duplication and to look at where we can find efficiencies, but you also have to be very, very careful that you're not eliminating what are successful programs and opportunities for some people that otherwise wouldn't be available.
Okay, but there is an ongoing effort,
yes,
you know, to look at that. Okay,
yes.
Just one more question. You had inquiry from the senator from the 7th. Is it true that it is kind of the norm now or the construct that we're not encouraging our college students at our public universities to get through their undergrad in 4 years, and that it's 5 and 6 years? I think I heard that in the inquiry.
Well, I think the course curriculum that's designed is designed to graduate people in 4 years. I think what you get is students who, for one reason or another, on average, or a lot of them are graduating in 5. And whether that's because they get fairly far along in a degree program and shift majors and then have to go back and make up coursework, I don't know, but I do know that there are more and more students who are taking 5 years rather than 4. But, you know, from the university's perspective, I think the curriculum is still established at a 4-year curriculum.
Right.
Whether any individual...
What was the norm as far as credit hours that were taken when you went through the University of Columbia?
I do not remember.
You don't remember?
I absolutely do not remember.
15, 18 credit hours, something like that?
I mean, that's been a long time ago. I had semesters, I think, where I had 18 hours,
right,
which, if I remember correctly, is a fairly heavy load.
I wouldn't be surprised if you got through in 3 years.
No, actually, and I took a little time off. I worked, because I worked all through college.
Okay.
I was a bartender all through college, and so...
You actually worked and went to school.
I did. I worked and went to college.
Time.
I worked all through college.
Senator.
Yes.
Good for you. Good for you.
All right,
bartender was
a great job to have at college. I was a summer mover, 2 summers for Stevens College.
Is that right?
It was. What a fantastic job that was.
There you go. Well, I just be concerned that, you know, because, you know, it is a fact that, you know, the taxpayers of this state, you know, greatly underwrite the cost of a public education, even in higher ed, and even with the cuts that they've taken over the last couple of years. It's still being subsidized by the taxpayers to a pretty good percentage. And so if we were encouraging them to stick around for a 5th and 6th year or, you know, to spread it out over that amount of time, it seems to me that... That would put more burden on the system.
Yeah, and I would have to have more information on why that trend is developing.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Senator.
We're on the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 3. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Boone is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute.
The senator from Boone renews his motion that the Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 3 be adopted. As many as are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the bill? Okay. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move the House Committee substitute for House Bill number 3 with the Senate Committee substitute be third read and finally passed.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the bill? Hearing none, the senator from Boone is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Boone has renewed his motion that Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 3 be read and third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 3, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Higher Education et al. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Lawrence, votes aye. Senator from the Franklin. Thank you, Senator. Senator from Cape? Votes no. By the vote of 32 aye and 2 noes, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Staying on the same calendar, Senate Committee substitute for Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senator, the order of business of announcements.
On the order of business of announcements, Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. Your Committee on Agricultural, Food Production, and Natural Resources will be meeting at 12 o'clock noon in SCR 1. There'll be a little delay of the representative showing up to present his bill, but they can check in at noon.
On the order of business announcements, the Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Education will meet promptly at 1:30 in the Senate Lounge, providing that the committee meeting before us, which is chaired by the senator from the 15th, is done on time. So 1:30, education.
Senator from the 15th.
Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government will meet now at noon in the lounge.
On the order of business of announcements, seeing none, Senator from the 23rd. I'm sorry, Senator from Saline.
Lunch is served in my office.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
Senate recess. You've heard the motion. All in favor? Opposed? Nay? The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We stand at recess. until 3 p.m. this day.